Welcome to On the Journey with Carissa and Friends, part of My Journey of Faith Ministries. I'm Carissa Hartage, and I'm excited to have you join me each week as I chat with friends about the ups and downs of their journeys of faith. You'll become familiar with voices such as Shelley Chandler, Sarah Heer, Rebecca Bean, and more. And you will also hear from stories of women who have experienced victories and struggles, but continue to trust God on their journeys. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today. In other words, we were never meant to do life alone. So join us each week for a little bit of encouragement and for strategies to help each other navigate as we continue on the journey together. Carissa Hartage, your host here, and I'm so excited to have you back for episode 3 of On the Journey with Carissa and Friends. I don't know if you caught our last episode, but we just had an incredible conversation with Amber Bohannon, and she just shared her heart and some amazing truths. You know, one of the main goals for us at On the Journey podcast is for you guys to, well, the main goal is for you to not feel alone. The main goal is for you to know that whatever you're going through, you have brothers and sisters who are experiencing trials of many kinds. We read in God's word in, I believe it's Mark that shares that, maybe Matthew, I don't have it in front of me. But we are not alone on this journey of faith. And the picture that is presented, go back and listen to what Amber said about the fields in episode 2, if you haven't heard it. Because the picture that we present to the world, if we're going to continue growing and becoming stronger as a unified body of Christ, and if we're going to keep winning souls, which is why we're here, is to win souls and glorify God, then we're going to have to start looking beyond what's presented with each other, and also be able to be vulnerable and authentic with one another, because that's where real relationship and real love and real connection takes place. And Amber, I'm so happy that you're back again. Thank you for being here again with us.
Thanks for having me.
And so we're picking up where we left off last week, and we were talking about love and how God used a very, very life transformative, but in all the ways, I mean, in every possible feeling, hurt, pain, suffering, loss, grief, glory, beauty, in all the ways, God used a very traumatic life experience. And I love, you know, in where Joseph is dealing with the Egyptians and his brothers, and so what Satan intended to destroy me, God used for good and for his glory. And I think that that is who God is, and that's just one component of the love that is the God who is love. And so you were talking a little bit last week about how God used this experience in your life, your husband that you've been married to for 16 years, you found out over the summer that he had an affair, and how he used that experience in your own life to show you his love in a way that you've never experienced. But not only that, that he also transformed in you because you had such a close encounter with his love. He was able to build that into your fiber so that you can love others well, as also so that you can look at others differently.
Yes.
I just want to keep picking up where we left off, because there's so much there. One thing I really wanted to ask you about is that, you know, we come, as people know and have heard, we come from similar backgrounds. We're both preachers' kids. And I think that one of the parts of, and you had talked about how you created a world for yourself. You created your glass house for you to live in based on what you thought you were supposed to look like and what your family was supposed to look like, right? The same thing. And I think that a lot of those walls are created by pride.
Yes.
You agree with me that there was a huge element of pride.
Absolutely.
And so I think for us that in order for us to truly experience the deep love of God, that cannot happen when we are rooted in pride.
Yes.
And so how did this experience shift you? Because what you're articulating is that you went from pride.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that experience for you and how you felt the love of God in that humble place versus how you felt it in the place of pride. Because I think that what we think to be humility a lot of times is pride.
Oh, yeah.
Self-protection, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so talk a little bit about that.
There are three steps: pride, humiliation, humility.
Word.
That's how I took it. Okay, so I want to give you kind of some tangible, like, things in my mind that taught maybe lean towards the pride part, and then how the other side of it when it became, I think, a real humility. So one example with my family. So I am a stickler on my kids and manners. I have been when they were little. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thing, which is not a bad thing. My motive, however, was probably not, it was more out of pride than respect. If that makes sense. Like, okay. I want you to say yes, ma'am, because I want them to know that I'm a good parent and that I raised you right. And then, you know, that sort of thing. One of the things that I learned, and let me tell, this is a little story that happened afterwards. When I finally went back to church, because I stepped out of church for just a little bit, trying to figure everything out. I went back to church after my hurt and the pain. And I sat in the pew up real high, real tall, at the very back. And I just cried and I was hurting. And I began thinking, nobody cares about me. I'm hurting. I'm sitting up here all alone. I'm this, I'm that, me. And I finally lifted my head, and within about at least 10 to 15 feet around me were six people. Okay. And I'm not lying, because I counted, and I think this is a total God thing, we're crying just as hard, if not harder, than I was. And God says, not always about you. Have you ever walked in this church yourself and looked around and wondered who may be hurting around you? And I was like, yeah, no. None of those people were looking at me. None of those people, they didn't have the energy to gossip about me that morning. They didn't have, it's like God said, it's not, this world is not revolving around you. He's like, I love you, and that's all you need. But when you get your stuff together, these people around you are going to need you. So don't miss it. So that is kind of how I went from a pride to just a humility. Like, I need to notice others around me versus expecting everyone to feed into me, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so then, so what would you say for the people who are, because I'm thinking back to those first few days and how that must have felt for you.
Yeah.
So what would you say to the people who are still in it and aren't quite to the point where they're even ready to walk through the doors yet? You know, you gave yourself permission to not go to church.
Brad did that, and it was a very big God thing, because he said to me, why do you want to go to church? Is it because you want to make sure everybody sees you there, because that's what you're supposed to do and what you've always done? Or he was, it's amazing how God used him to walk me through this. And that whole story, like the Brad and I section of it, is like a whole nother story in itself, but that's something that he and I would do to, like, we, that's our story. And I don't share Brad's part of the story. So I keep that for him when God's ready for him to share that. But I had to make sure it was a time where I was ready to go back for the right reasons. I was ready to walk in. And I would say, knowing that I had one person at least that I could look at and say, just come sit with me for a minute, was probably, the best thing I had, knowing that there was at least one person that knew my struggle and my hurt because she had been there.
Yeah.
And when she came and sat by me, she didn't tell me what I wanted to hear, but she just told me that it was okay. And I knew it was okay because she was okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She was an example.
Give yourself time. Oh, absolutely. Well, and just an example of somebody showing me what we're talking about. I love you because I love you regardless.
Yeah.
So, and she loved Brad regardless.
So that's where I think we, as, and please know my heart when I say this, But that's where I think we're failing as believers.
I agree. Because if God hadn't have made this story public, okay, if God hadn't had ripped the walls out in front of me, I would still be hiding and faking it. And really, I like to say, I think, I know God can use whatever, but I think I would have been ineffective in my ministry because I wouldn't be able to be real and raw because I would put more energy into pretending. I'd be putting more energy into covering up as opposed to just living real life, if that makes sense, as who I am and what we've been through. And I've had more people tell me now, I thought your family was perfect. I thought you had it all together. I thought blah, blah, blah. And to me, that was a failure on my part, is that the reason they thought that is because I pushed it so hard and because I put that out there so hard and put definitely.
But don't you think that's an epidemic among Christian women?
Yeah. So through this and being real and raw, I have had many, many, many women come to me and say they've been through the same thing. And this is just my story, and it's one section of my story.
Yes.
There's so many other parts and pieces to my story, and there's so many other hurts and things in this world, but I think a lot of it can apply to so many of the hurts and disappointments and rejections that we face.
Yeah.
I do think that even in this, it was hard. It was a hard season. I've told it so much, I didn't think I would be so much. To hear someone say, I've been through this, but nobody knows. Please don't tell anybody. And I just think, how did you make it? How did you survive? And it must be hard living a life where you feel like you've got to hide something. And so it breaks my heart of how many, and I just have the women's side of it that have talked to me, how many couples have had to walk through this and walk through it alone and not have somebody say, I love you.
Yes.
Regardless.
And it's because we're not making people feel safe.
Yes. Yes. We need a safe place. We need that. It's okay to be, it's okay to mess up. It's okay to have hardships. It's okay to have hurts. It's okay to question God. I beg
God. Why
are you doing this? Why are we here? Why am I doing this? Why now? Why in this season? Why this situation? And I mean, God's first answer was just for this, Amber, for this, for the first time in your life, you're begging, you're clinging to me, you're yearning for me. Before you even walk out of the house, you say, walk with me, Lord. And I've never done that before.
Have you had, okay, I'm trying to say this the right way. What would you say to the women who have this experience and they don't have the response? Because I know there's two things you said to me when you told me about this, because I didn't know about this. You know, I got in Target of all places. I'm not surprised because I believe Target can be a holy place when two believers are gathered together shopping for kids' clothes. But I think that there's holiness there.
There's holiness there, especially if you're willing to share your story.
Amen. And if you got Starbucks, it's even better.
Absolutely.
And so when we were at Target, you said, I just saw it just shining. Oh, just ever prevalent. You said, I'm free.
Yes.
Free. I've never felt so free.
And how crazy that God, something happened. God used something to play on my biggest insecurities of I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I don't cook well enough. I don't clean well enough. I don't. Everything, every insecurity that I hold came to the top when this happened. Everything that I had whispered to myself for years came Cool. But how cool, right in the mirror, but how cool is God that he brought it all to the surface through a situation that I hated and freed me from it?
Amazing. And so what role do you think?
How cool is God's
role? He's amazing. And he can use everything. He can use everything.
Yes.
And so how awesome. So I want to ask, because there are going to be women out here who don't have. Okay. So let me just ask you this way. How many people were supportive and how many people weren't? And how did you navigate? Because I know there were some people that didn't respond the way that Christians we would like to see them respond and the way that I know our heart is to respond. And so for these women, because they're sitting here and maybe they're sitting on the back pew and they haven't had that encounter with God to lift their head yet. Yes. And there was one or two people that come and gather around and love them, but then there's 25 others who walk away.
Yes.
How would you tell them to keep moving? Because what you're saying is, it's really not about other people,
right?
It's about you. But how did you push past? Because you are a well-known name in your community, and so is your family. And so everybody, I'm sure, had things to say.
Absolutely.
How did you push past those words to keep the lesson for you, to keep it about you and God and your recovery?
You know, in all honesty, sitting back now and looking, it was 2 years ago, the majority of people were encouraging and supportive, but the negative and the non-supporters, even if it's just a few, are louder, and Satan will use them to hit those insecure places. And don't get me wrong, I had my moments where I was clinging to it. I was like, yeah, everybody hates me. They don't talk to me. They don't. But I think there was one girl in particular that I remember thinking, she thinks she's too good for me. She barely speaks to me. I wrote her off as a friend, as an acquaintance, and I wrote her off. But she's the very one that I was talking about a while ago that came to me and said, me too. I've been there. You need me, and I'm going to need you. And has walked me through and become a very dear friend. So that's when I would kind of had that turning point of like cling to those. I don't know. God kind of gave me that discernment of those that loved real. And to be honest, most loved real. Most just don't know what to say. Most just don't know how to respond. And I can understand that because I can look back now and think of some pretty stupid things I've said to people in these situations. So now I just maybe have a little more grace for some of those people. And, I try to tame my tongue maybe a little more. But all I can say to people that are still sitting in their mess with their head looking down, when you look up, just look up for Christ. Don't look up for, your husband to fill the void. Don't look up for your kids or your role as a mom to fill the void or role as a Bible study leader to fill the void or, for friends you've had for years to fill the void. If somebody hasn't really been in the situation, it's really hard to give advice in that you can cling to, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And so how's the love that you have now, the new relationship that you have now, which is new? I mean, would you say it's new?
Yes.
Because, you know, one of my favorite passages is that we now, with unveiled faces, are reflecting the glory of God from one degree to another to become more like Christ, right? And I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. I usually know this verse backwards and forwards, but you're unveiled. Like, you're exposed. It's all get out. You're completely unveiled to reveal the glory of God. Yes. That's where we want to be. Because now that you're shining that light, there's no more wall to hinder you. There's no more glass house to block the light. It's shining. And every experience is bringing you more like Christ. We want to live that way. We don't want to live veiled. We don't want to hide the glory of God that is in us, what you called the treasure last time. If you haven't listened to episode 2, I strongly encourage you, that treasure. And live from one degree, shine and learn from one degree of glory to another so that we can become more like Christ. So what is God doing with this experience, with this new unveiled relationship that you have that's transforming you? how has he used you in ways that are scary and exciting ways to step out of your comfort zone to use this story that could have done you in? It could have destroyed you. It could have flattened you. But instead, God is using it in your life for ministry, for a purpose, to have purpose. Because everything that happens in our life, if he can't use it, if he's not going to use it for a purpose, then it gets a no. It doesn't happen. Like, right. That's just the way it is. He's not going to let us experience purposeless hurt. That's not the way a God of love is.
Right.
Every pain, every suffering, every struggle can be used for his glory. He does work all things together for good according to his purposes. And so how is he using this in your life to apply, to use in ministry and in your day-to-day?
Right. So just in our family, in this way, he is allowing a hope for my kids to be able to see a picture of forgiveness and grace and love and mercy. And he's allowed me to... I hope my kids can see that in the way I loved their dad through it, and but also in the way Brad has loved me through my healing. Now, we still have our days and our times, but God is good through it all, and we'll make it through that. So I don't want to think it looks like we're walking on clouds and roses now. There are those days, but my kids are getting to see us, I like to say, wrestle well, struggle well, and heal and forgive and restore. I was able to watch, I say, a front row seat to Brad's life's transformation. And I hope he, I do believe he got to see a picture of love and forgiveness with how I responded and how I, in that way. And maybe even...
Did you make a commitment that you were going to do this thing, that you were going to do the hard work that you... Like, was that a commitment that you made right after? To stay the work?
No. So right after, and I want to be clear in saying that not every story ends the same, and I'm not better or worse than anybody because our marriage stayed together or whatever. In the initial, I was so messed up and in a fog. I wasn't really sure what direction. I wanted to go to the end of my driveway, turn right, and never look back. But my dad said something to me, and I would encourage any minister. My dad is very good at this. He knows when I need my dad and when I need my pastor. And in this instance, he probably wanted to be my dad and tell me to come home. But he said to me, Amber, he said, if God has given you, biblically, God has given you a key to, you can leave the marriage. Biblically, you can leave. But if you leave, know that you have walked away fighting as hard as you can to make it work. And that is the moment, the instant that I knew I was going to fight as hard as I could fight to make it work. And thankfully, Brad was on the same page as me. He wanted to fight as well. And right then we made that commitment that we were going to give it everything we've got.
And so that's when Brad got to see you, and you got to individually watch God change each other.
Yeah. Yeah, in very cool ways. Like, some ways I don't even know that if it would be something we would ever could share, because it was just so of God.
Amazing. Yeah. And so now, I interrupted you, but now you have a new journey that God has put you on. Yes. From this experience.
My mom started a class a couple years ago on anxiety and depression, and I wasn't in the class because I was teaching kids, but we didn't know that it would be the same exact season that I was walking through this. God's timing is so cool when you can look back and look at it. But I shared my testimony, you know, several months later in that class. And we began reading the same books and talking about the same stuff. And she got sick and she just didn't think she could leave the class anymore. And I said, well, I'll help. And so I taught the first class the next year, and then I taught the second class the next year. And she was like, I mean, you're doing really good, so keep going. And it was a God thing. And it caused me to continually dig into his word and continually and to learn and grow. And it's been the coolest thing. And the class has continued to grow. And I'm getting to use my story, being raw and real and vulnerable, to look at ladies that I thought, honestly, some of the faces I thought would look back at me and judge me. And instead, they have loved me. Real love. And then here's some of their stories. It's crazy. Vulnerability breeds vulnerability. When you are raw and real, you learn the raw and real of others, and then you can love real. Then you can invest in others in a real way. Yeah. And it has been amazing. And I'm getting opportunities. And it's funny, like I'm seeing opportunities in a store, or I've had people just send me text messages or phone calls or Facebook messages that say, I think I'm in the same situation you are in. Will you call me, or can I talk to you? I would never have had that opportunity had I kept it hidden.
And you get to be the one.
Yes, me too. Yes.
And yes. That's precious. I mean, there is no word to describe how precious, you know, I mean, if you're out there and you're sitting there and you're in Amber's shoes and you get to be the one, like I've gotten to be the one in so many circumstances, the one in grief recovery, the one in abuse recovery, the one in sexual sin recovery. I mean, I've been able to be the one in so many circumstances to say, lift that head, don't sit there. God did not create you. And grace does not allow you to sit there with your head down. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I love, before we give application and say goodbye, the other thing that I love that I think women need to hear, because I'm hearing lately, women who do their own sin, who make their own decisions of sin and have repercussions and consequences, and then people who are victims of sin, and both are pulling out of their church environments or their serving environments because they feel like they don't have that privilege or that right to be there anymore.
Yeah.
And what I hear you saying is you still went to class. You just did it honestly. And then they rallied around you. And not only did it keep you in community, it kept you accountable in God's word. So it sustained you after God kind of picked you back up. Then he used that serving to sustain you. And so what would you say, just a couple application points to people who are wanting to quit or pull away from their community of believers, and then for people who maybe are just in the middle of this, trying to figure it all out, what are just a couple of words of wisdom that you would leave with them in our discussion time today?
I would say my time out of church in the beginning, I think was healthy, but I want you to hear that it was just a few weeks. It wasn't like I turned my back on church. For someone in the situation, don't do it alone. Don't feel like you have to carry the weight yourself. If you're listening to this and you don't know anybody that's been through it, I have, so just hit me up.
Facebook and Instagram. What's your site name?
Amber.
On Facebook, you're Amber Bohannon.
Amber Bohannon, and then I think on Instagram, I'm just Amber Bo.
At Amber Bo. I think you are too, because that's how I picture it in my head.
At Amber 12.
Amber.
Yeah,
Bo.
Amber Bo 12. At Amber Bo.
DM her.
DM me. Yes, anytime. I get it. I get several. And also, it's a daily choice to wake up, especially in the beginning and for quite a while. It's a daily choice to wake up and choose forgiveness and choose God and to choose love. When something happens in your life because of somebody else, because of somebody else's sin, you can forgive. Forgive them for what the act, forgive what was done. But it's a daily thing to forgive the impact, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because it's something new and different. And it's a daily choice not to hit them with it every day. Because I still have days that I just want to blow it all back up. And that's not the choice that I've made.
Yes.
Wake up every day. People say, I just feel like I wake up every day in the same nightmare. And yes, for a minute, it is a nightmare. But at some point, you have to make the choice to wake up and not let it be your nightmare, but let it be your opportunity. And whatever that may look like, it may just be an opportunity to love your husband better, or whatever that may look like.
Face to God.
To choose it. And to say, God, you're all I've got. So yes. Today, one step at a time.
Yes.
Walk me through it.
Yes. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your words
and your boldness and your authenticity. I know that so many women are going to hear, and even if they aren't in your same exact shoes, just hear that this is a place for you to be real, to be who you are, and to know that you're loved just exactly for who you are, where you are, no matter what your story is. You are welcome here.
Exactly. And my biggest question, what if God wants to use your story to change somebody's life?
Be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Thank you. We will talk to you again soon. Bye, Amber.
Bye.